All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to podcast number 3. And when I say ladies and gentlemen, I mostly mean gentlemen. I entirely mean gentlemen. Our podcast will be joined by Packer Ken this evening. Very excited about that. But first, a word from our sponsor, bitches. We've been fucking up men's lives since God created life on Earth in 4000 BC. Bitches. As proof of our gender inferiority, soon scientists will be developing a low-cost eugenics option for test tube babies that will effectively end the need for us. Bitches. No crotch is plated in gold. Bitches. And now, on with the show. Rising. Sensitivity is getting low. According to our blogger, Lambo is the place to go. Cause tonight for the first time, we're gonna talk about women. First time in history, a straight man likes Clay Aiken. Well, it's Pack a Can. Hallelujah, it's Pack a Can. Amen, it's Pack a Can. Hallelujah, it's Pack a Can. Amen. All right, and we are live. The third installment of the Threads of Time podcast, and tonight, I'm just going to keep saying that I have a very special guest for you because they're all special, but this one in particular is my Packer fan brethren, Packer Ken. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. It's great to be here. I've been looking forward to it for a while. I'm glad we could hook it up.
Yeah. The moment that I put the first one out with Clone, you, I don't know if you text me or PM'd me right away, and you're like, I want to do that. So that's awesome. I appreciate your willingness to bare your soul.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. I think, you know, those of us who have met, on a personal level at the get-togethers or through other ways, I think it really helps to understand, people's thinking as far as when you see them on the website, on the forums and stuff. A lot of the stuff that people say, you know, comes off one way, and then you get to know them and you really understand things on a different level.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, what made me realize that, like a moment of clarity about that, is Ash made a comment earlier today that was basically to the effect of how weird it was for him having not met anyone before and then hearing two people having a conversation about something from the forums. And I didn't realize it as much because I think I've probably met as many or more people than probably anybody else and talked to people in different forums. But, you know, there is that weird delineation between the forum life and then real life. And sometimes you think like you're the only participant and the rest is just kind of a simulation. But then you realize like there's real people out there. I don't know if that makes sense, but it just I'm sure it seems weird for him never having met anybody before.
No, and I can definitely understand it. I mean, for me personally, I tend to, you know, I'm a pretty honest person when it comes to, you know, being on forums and on the internet. I think a lot of people tend to take a different tack to it and kind of have a real different personality than they do in person. With me, I guess I'm a bit quieter in person than I am on the forums. But as far as, you know, what I actually say, I'm really pretty much the same person, you know, both places, or Facebook or Twitter or whatever, you know.
Yeah. Well, and don't mean to change the subject right off the bat, but, you know, I was on Facebook because I try and do at least a little bit of research before I start this. I say that like I'm a veteran. I've done 3. But the one thing that I saw on your Facebook, and I don't know how this has never come up, or at least it didn't register with me. Were you really born in Las Vegas?
I really was born in Las Vegas. I'm that one guy that actually was born there and didn't move there when he turned 21.
And then, how long did you live there?
We actually moved from Vegas up to Portland about 2 weeks before my freshman year of high school.
Oh, so you grew up in Las Vegas, basically. And
And it's, believe me, growing up there and living in the, living in the housing there versus, the people that visit for a week and only see downtown, it's a whole different world.
yeah, that's my, it's crazy when you see the aerial shot of Las Vegas because the strip is such a small part of Las Vegas. I mean, when you're in the middle of the strip, it seems like its own world, but when you see it from an aerial shot, the town dwarfs the strip and then the desert dwarfs the town.
Exactly.
Yeah. So where did you live in relation to the strip? Because I guess that's what everybody's familiar with.
I lived in, I guess now, actually now it'd be probably fairly close to, the center of town. We were about 8 miles away from the strip, but northwest. I actually lived in the same neighborhood, a couple blocks away from where Siegfried and Roy's house was.
Nice.
So we used to hear the Tigers on a regular basis,
Is that where the
in
Purple Tigers name came from?
that. That actually, Jacksboro, that was when I was doing radio play-by-play. That was the high school's games that I called was the Jacksboro Tigers, and they were purple, so.
Oh. Well, and actually, that's another thing I learned about you from during my brief Facebook stalk is you were meant to be a Wisconsin sports fan because you went to, now it's spelled a little different, but you went to Milwaukee High School.
I
That's a
did.
city in Portland or near Portland, though, right?
Exactly. It's a
Yeah,
suburb of Portland.
yeah. And then Jacksboro is somewhere near there, I assume.
Jasper is actually here in Texas.
Oh. Okay. Wait. So walk me through this. So freshman year of high school, you leave Las Vegas, go to Milwaukee High School near Portland, and then you're there until when?
We moved here in 2006, the summer of 2006.
Well, when did you graduate high school?
94.
94. So you were like 30 when you moved to Texas. Somewhere in there.
I'm not quite 30. I turned 30 a month after we moved here.
And you live in Irvine? No.
Irving.
Irving. What is it, the same city and I'm just pronouncing it incorrectly?
No, here in Texas, it's Irving. It's with a G at the end instead of an E.
Oh, yeah, it's Irvine,
Irvine's,
California.
yeah, Irvine, Southern California.
Gotcha.
Yeah, PR would have been the one you should have talked to about Irvine.
Yeah, so did you have a chance to listen to the podcast? I know
I
it's
did. I
okay.
did. I actually listened to it to. I listened to it today.
So I gotta have you clarify something for me here. I guess I thought, and I don't think I was the only one that thought that you had met PR before, but then not only haven't you met him, but you vouched for him with one of your friends to move in together. Is that the right story?
He was, he was struggling for a bit while he was in Portland, and it was. I know Portland, obviously. I lived there. I knew bad weather was coming, and it was going to be a couple months before he could get out. So, I had a friend that actually still have. They're still friends with me, so it must not have been too bad. I have a friend that lives pretty close to the temp job that he got as he was trying to get enough money to get out of Portland. So.
Oh, when you said bad weather, he was just in a place where he needed an assist.
Exactly. He at that time he didn't have the van. He didn't have. He was basically living outside. So.
So, how did the friendship with him start? I mean, it seems like you guys have known each other and you're pretty tight.
Yeah, we've been. We talk all the time. We've been hanging out online, probably, I guess it's been 5 years. I mean, I knew him before he joined TCL the first time with, was it Laredo that was his? Yeah, because
No, that
Jar
was.
took Laredo from him. Or was.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize Jar didn't change the name of that team. So it was Laredo Lone Rangers was his, and then Jar took it over?
I'm pretty sure.
Because
I
I
could
know.
be wrong, and it could be that that Jar took it over and turned it into Laredo.
All right. I'll try and look that up while we're talking because, yeah, I guess I didn't realize he was in TCL twice. No, it's testing my memory.
Yep, because I'm not going to be a Dyer.
Oh, Lewis Dyer.
Yep, that was his draft pick. He traded a ton of stuff to clone to get the pick, and or did he trade for Dyer himself? I can't remember which way it went, but to this day, he's still one of his favorite players, you know.
Yes. Oh no. So PR's team name was the Deadwood Outlaws.
Yes, and then Jar changed it to Laredo.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, I kind of forgot about that part of the history. He was only around for 3 seasons, so that first time. And then we talked about the plague yesterday, which I still think is hilarious.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite TCL team names.
Yeah, so
Bad that he wasn't around when we were doing the themed player renames, because I think that could have been a lot of fun too.
yeah, that would have been the perfect scenario. So right before we were talking, and first, since I didn't get a chance to say it on the last podcast until I went back and listened to it, apologize to everybody about the audio. PR was on his phone and it just didn't come out right. And I'm not talented enough to figure out how to scrub out all that crap. But you might notice that this time the audio, I'm predicting that the audio will come through really good. And one of the reasons is because I totally forgot that Ken was in radio for a long time. And you mentioned it just a minute ago, but you were broadcasting football games. I remember actually seeing a video or hearing that a long time ago, so you must have been doing that for a while, huh?
I did it for, I think, 3 seasons. It started right after I moved here, and I think it was either 3 or 4 seasons that I did the Tigers football. And then the radio station I was working for got a new owner and wasn't going to pay us anything at all. It was, you know, as it was, Jacksboro was about 80 miles away from where I was living at the time. So the money that I was getting paid wasn't really going in my pocket, it was going towards the gas to get there and back.
So you're doing it as much for the experience. You certainly weren't doing it to get rich. Yeah.
Exactly. And well, there's one thing that a lot of people don't realize about radio. Quick sidebar, I have a friend who was one of the big voices in Portland for their big alternative station. And he was on air there in the evenings, and he did all their imaging, which is the little things that go in between songs, you know, the name and
Yep.
call sign and everything for the station. And did a lot of their different ads, did ads for the company that owned the radio station for other stations too. He recently got out of radio after I think about 20 years. He's a bus driver and makes about twice the money that he was making working in radio.
No kidding.
Where he was heard by, you know, millions of people and, you know, name and everybody in the town knew who he was.
Yeah, I was going
But
to say half the people in the town could recognize him by his voice, and then but he's making minimum wage plus. Wow, that's
exactly.
tough. I'm
The whole
surprised
time.
there's not more money in radio.
There used to be. There used to be. Let me get on my soapbox for a second
All
here.
right, do it.
And I like the guy for a lot of other things, but Bill Clinton deregulated radio stations. It used to be a company could only own 6 radio stations in the country.
Yep.
Now companies own, there's like 5 companies that own all the radio stations in the country, basically.
Yeah,
They can
like
own
Clear
7.
Channel, they own like 4,000 radio, some obscene number, right?
Exactly. They'll own, I think they can own up to 7 in, you know, one city now. So what's happened is that's given those companies all the leverage. They'll have one guy who will do, they'll do live radio in a big city, and then they'll do what's called voice tracking. They'll pre-record everything for a bunch of other stations in smaller cities. So you'll hear the same, you know, the same voice in like five, six different cities.
Yeah, and before that, like morning show, syndicated morning shows, that wasn't even really a thing. And now there's like Bob and Tom and Elvis in the Morning, and all these are nationwide now.
And those guys are the few guys in radio that still make good money. Your morning show guys, even the ones that aren't syndicated, you'll have the more popular morning radio shows in all the big cities. Those guys still make good money. The on-air talent makes good money. The people that actually do a lot of the work to put the show together still make, minimum wage plus, and all those guys have other, they'll get up at 2 o'clock in the morning to do the radio show. The morning show's off at 10, and they'll go work their real job for the rest of the day and go home and sleep for a couple hours and then get up and do it all over again.
Yeah, there's this guy I know in Madison, and it's crazy what he does. And I don't know how much he makes, but it's not a lot. But he works in the morning on the AM sports station broadcast. He has to be there at like 5 or 5:30. He does that show, and then he does a bunch of stuff in the middle, including cleaning the office and everything else. And then he gets on the afternoon show. And now, obviously, it's not his name on the show, but he's working every day during the week from 5:30 until 7 o'clock at night, cleaning in between, just to try and make it.
Exactly. It's not the glamorous life people think it is, that's for sure.
Yeah. So you left radio. Was money the motivating factor to get out of radio?
It honestly wasn't. But when I got here to Texas, I had been happy in Portland. I was doing a part-time gig at a radio station in Portland, doing ad work, putting commercials together, and then being a board operator, which is, for a syndicated show, there's supposed to be somebody in the studio making sure that the show's on when it's supposed to be on, and then commercials are running when they're supposed to be running, and that kind of stuff. So they still pay somebody a little bit more than minimum wage to take care of that as well. So I was working a total of about probably 25 hours a week in a radio station, and then I drove a paratransit bus, a handicap bus for the metro transit there in Portland, another probably 30, 35 hours a week. So, but I was happy. I love both those jobs.
Did you need a CDL to do that kind of
Yeah,
work? Yeah.
you do need a CDL to drive those buses. But I mean, it was great work. I loved driving the bus. It's different. It's not a regular bus. It goes from stop to stop. It's a set order. The way the paratransit buses work, at least in Portland, it's door to door. So you would pull the bus up, walk to the door, get the person out if they're ambulatory, if they can walk, you just make, walk with them and make sure they get to the bus okay. If there's a wheelchair, you're going to help them, get to the bus and, use the wheelchair lift to get them in the bus. And you would have a few different pickups of all people going to the same place. And then you would drop them off, and then you would go pick more people up and take them to a different place. Or and it was great. You would have the mentally challenged folk. Like I would every day I had to stop at Goodwill. And I would pick up the bus held 15, and I would have a full bus of all the folks that worked at the Goodwill and getting them home. And there was nothing better than both jobs. I felt like I was affecting people's lives in some way. You look at these folks that don't have anything, and they're the happiest people in the world as they get on that bus, and then when they get off, they always were happy to see you, and it was nice to have a conversation with people, and it was a great job to have. I really do miss that job, but it's not something I could do now with all the back issues I have.
Yeah, you're exactly right. In the hotel industry, almost every hotel I've worked at, we have somebody on the payroll with special needs, and it's interesting. They're the purest form of humanity in a lot of ways because they don't come with a lot of drama. They are typically very happy. They're very proud people of where they work, and the it's really easy to have people like that brighten up your day for sure. And then also, I was thinking about it today, is out of all the animals on Earth, humans are the one that make sure that there is no natural selection anymore, that we try and keep everybody around. And I think like that's the start of our evolution as a higher species is to care for folks that need additional support, but then in return, they obviously teach you a lot of lessons on their own.
Exactly. I was actually just going to say the same thing. I think it's one of those steps we've taken to prove that we're moving ahead, in our evolutionary track, I guess.
Yeah. So you did all that stuff, and now you're an underwriter. Is this for health insurance or life insurance?
Actually, I do underwriting for auto and home insurance.
Auto and home. Okay. All right. And so you enjoy that? I mean,
I love it. I've been with the company for a little over 3 years now. I was in sales up until March 1 is when I started doing underwriting, and it's been a huge change. I was really done with sales. I was starting to struggle. I'm not much of a salesman. I know some people in CSFBL might be surprised, because at least I used to be a pretty good salesperson when it came to trading with folks, but
right, yep.
didn't translate very well to auto insurance, that's for sure.
Well, you got to be good at in CSFBL, you also have to be good at getting the better end of the deal. You're not supposed to be making fair deals in CSFBL, right? That's why Boise's doing so well, because he's a used car salesman, man. He can get over on anybody.
Right. And see, but actually, that's one thing that I've realized in CSFBL and being in it, and I just realized this is my 10th year. I wasn't around at the very beginning, but I joined in 2004. So it's been almost 10 years. It was the end of 2004 that I joined.
Yep.
So,
Me too. Yeah.
but one of the things that I've learned is I actually don't look to get ahead on deals anymore. I mean, sure, if you're looking to trade draft picks or something like that, I'm not going to trade the first overall pick for the 24th. But I've learned over time that what's more important is to look at the needs you have, fill those needs, and if you end up giving up something that you don't need, whether it's better than what you got or not, you got rid of something you don't need for something you need. So even if that person thinks they won because they got the better talent, you won because you filled the need on your team and your team's more ready to succeed.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think I've been pretty successful in trading because that's the only way that any of my teams have been good. And I only look at it for what I need, and I find people that have extra of what I need. So it's trying to fill both teams' needs. But like, I think back to like the when I got Luther Roberson from Hawkeye. I mean, if you look back at that trade, I gave him five first round picks, seven second round picks. I mean, so he was able to redo his entire team. Now, if you put them together, sure, Luther has been like one of the top three pitchers over the last 6 or 7 years, but that's a lot of picks. So there's no way objectively you could say that I got the better end of that deal. But for me, I got the better end of that deal because there's a hard cap. There's no way I could keep five first round picks worth of salary. So it didn't make sense for me anyway. I had to trade them. And, so I just look at it like you do, just go after whatever your need is.
I think TCL is one of the leagues too where you see that more often than not. I know people give Jelly a hard time, but Jelly loses a ton of deals
Yes.
because he's filling needs.
Yes. And
And then people get mad at him because he wins.
and you look back at how Clone used to get the reputation of screwing people on deals, but if you really look back on his deals, he maybe won half or a little bit more than half of those deals on paper when it was all said and done.
Right. I still think back. Nobody will have any clue who these players are, but My first league was NFL Blitz. We need owners, by the way, so those of you listening, talk to me if you want a team. We've just gone public because I don't want to see the league die, but it's not the primary league for anybody anymore. Anyway, it was my first league. It was a private league that was started through a different website that I was a part of. Somebody there had seen the game and started playing. Said, "Hey guys, we should get a league together on this, and I'll play." And I think there's like three of us left that still play on a regular basis
Yeah.
from that. But there was this third baseman that I had, James Hayner, and he I didn't know this then because nobody used scouting then, but his salary dropped between like the ages of 27 and 28, and I knew he was going to go to shit quick.
Yeah.
I traded him, and I traded him for a couple pitchers who ended up being good relievers and a first round pick and a second round pick. I think it was a top 10 pick. But this was a year after he put up like 5 seasons in a row of 950 OPS or better. And that league crushed me. They thought I was the worst owner in the history of the world, da, da. And I said, "Just watch him. He's gonna die." And that year that I traded him, he put up a 750 OPS, and then it just went down from there.
Yeah, I'm looking at the trade now. You traded him for some guy named Kelvin Raskin, Lady Medina. What a great name.
I remember that guy. Oh my God.
Lady Medina. That's
Yes.
beautiful.
And of course, there were no renames back in the day either, so
Yeah, that was a real name, huh?
that was a real name.
Yeah, you're right. Well, actually, the Raiders got one good season out of him. He was 845, then he went to 781 OPS, and then 600s and retired.
Exactly.
Yep.
So I look back at that trade, and that was kind of the start of me realizing, and I do still get attached to players, but I've started learning to try to read when a guy is really going to hit decline. And I try to, if it's a guy that I'm not super attached to, like you're never going to see me trade Hunter Neela or Mackenzie Neela. Obviously, for those that don't know, my son's name's Hunter and my daughter's name is Mackenzie, so I renamed those guys knowing I was never going to trade them.
Right.
But for guys that I'm not 100% attached to, I've learned to try to get out of them, not just when they're in decline, but figure out, when they hit their peak and get out of them right when they're at their peak and maybe still have a year or two left so you can still get value instead of trying to get rid of them, when they're in decline, still making way too much money, nobody's going to want them, and you end up having to just cut them.
Yeah, I mentioned this before. I'm still terrible at that. I ride teams until they die. That's been kind of my thing forever. So, yeah, I'm terrible at it.
I see no problem in riding a team until it dies.
Yeah.
I don't have an issue with, people writing guys out and then having to start over. My issue comes in when people take 10 years to start over.
Right. Yeah.
Never.
So, I spent a very short period of time in NFL Blitz. I don't know if you knew that or not. This was years ago. I had the Denver Broncos for probably 9 or 10 seasons.
Wow. No,
Yeah.
I don't remember that at
Yeah.
all.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was when we were pretty young in CSFBL. It was right after TCL started. I was looking for one other private league to get into, and I got into Blitz. And it was before renames, obviously, as well. And I had that Broncos team, and I took it over, and it was a monster when I took it over. And I led the regular season in wins 2 years in a row, and got bounced from the playoffs first round both times. And I was like, I suck at this game really bad. And so that league got pretty frustrating for me. So for whatever reason, I lost interest and moved on, but.
That was one of the first leagues that went to a hard cap too. It had been hard cap for a long time.
Yeah, that's a good league. So, if you're looking for a team, that's a good one, good place to join. A lot of old school owners in there. So, you know what? I'm just looking at your franchise,
Yeah.
and you're in Negro League Tribute too, and it says the league date is 1982. Did you start it early or?
Yes, that league is actually one of the older leagues on the site. It is one of the premier leagues. It was started a long time ago, but it was started early to coincide with when the Negro Leagues actually were around.
And are you keeping them around now because you wish Negro League still existed?
Yes, that's exactly why.
I'm just trying to get you on tape saying something blatantly racist. But I think I just did it, so that was a backfire.
No, actually, and speaking of another league with history, if you go look at the history in that league, I don't know if you remember Broxton. He was
He's a he passed away, didn't he?
exactly. He passed away. He was an owner in NLT at the time.
Yeah, that's right.
But that league has actually had some dealings with some of the players that were in the Negro Leagues back in the day.
I remember somebody ran into one of the players, and I don't remember who it was, but they got like a picture with them or something.
Exactly. I can't remember who. There's been a few different.
And it might even have been Broxton, and I remember them posting a picture of something. And I can't.
Red Hawk. I know Red Hawk did a lot back in the day. TFM Dale, who's back in the league now, he's actually posted a lot of links to history on the actual Negro Leagues. It's real interesting to go back and look at some of that stuff.
Yeah,
So.
that's very cool. So speaking of history and TCL, this is you're on your third team here.
Am on my third team.
And so I'm looking at it right now. You had Jacksboro from the 99 season to the 25 season, so 26 seasons.
Right, and then I count the World
Kendu.
Series that
Oh, who?
was 1 year after I left.
Oh, Kohler.
Kohler. Yep, Kohler. That was
Did
mine.
Kohler win a World Series?
Yes, he did with
Yeesh.
my team.
Yeesh.
Yeah, you guys let him win. You wouldn't let me win, but
Oh,
you let him win.
yeah, because you were in the playoffs every year with that team. And then you had I forgot the name, and I had to look it up, the Kenduhar Sacred Cows.
Yeah, I remember that one.
You kind of started the naming that African and Choklahoma followed. Kenduhar was the first one, I think.
Yeah, but Kenduhar is a real place versus.
Yes. Well, you could call Choklahoma a real place because that's what usually happens, you know.
Well, I choked myself if I have to spend a long period of time there, so I can totally understand.
Choklahoma, if Mac listens to this, he's going to be pissed that I bring this up. But the 2006 Sugar Bowl, when Boise State beat Oklahoma in maybe the
Why?
greatest college football game of all time. Still the greatest.
Statue of Liberty.
Yeah. And they scored a touchdown on a hook and ladder, and they converted four fourth down plays in the last 2 minutes in overtime. It's such a ridiculous game. It's my favorite game ever. It was right after I split up with my ex-wife. And I had just bought this brand new big TV because I just decided, screw her. I'm doing everything that she didn't want me to
She said I
do.
could, yeah, exactly. Everything she said I couldn't do, that's what I'm doing.
In 3 months, I bought a new computer, I bought a brand new huge TV, and I bought an AK-47. Yeah, I mean, I was on a rampage. I bought a chainsaw. And so that's when I really started appreciating my freedom. Quickly, so
Okay, so going back to that game real quick, how much did you bet on it?
that game, I don't know. I don't know. I guaranteed I bet on it because that's the other thing. I was gambling a lot of money, not just on sports, but primarily on sports. And those were the big bet days. I think I had four big bets where I
I
bet a
remember those. You know,
thousand dollars on a game. Yeah.
before I met you, I thought that was all bullshit.
Oh, yeah. And then you met me and you're like, yeah, no, he's
And then I
really
met
that
you and I'm like,
stupid.
Oh, holy shit, he really is that crazy. My God.
Yeah.
No, I just remember when we went to the casino at the get together and watching you dropping all that big money.
That's well, I won that $1,500 jackpot because I was playing a slot machine that was $100 a pull. Like, who does that? What a stupid thing to do. It's not like I actually am a one percenter or anything. Like, that's rent money.
Oh, yeah, you're at least like a 2.5, or I'd say probably a 2.5 percenter.
No, I looked it up. I'm a 14.5 percenter.
Okay, well, that's not too bad. I
Yeah,
mean,
no, it's better than
you're a B. You're a solid B.
yeah, it's better than pound and scrap metal for $3 a day in Cambodia. So I still appreciate it. But I've been really irresponsible with my money back then. Like, I had $4,000 big bets. I lost all four. So not only did I gamble a lot, but I was shitty at it. And then also another meetup to just show how shitty I was with my money is the meetup I had with Kaz in Las Vegas.
Oh, I've heard stories about that one.
Oh man, that was brutal. We were betting all sorts of money. I gave a $100 chip to the guy that was sweeping the floor.
I remember that.
We were doing Jaeger bombs. I was putting money in for like Kaz's fiance at the time's dad. He was I was giving a, We were betting roulette. I was betting on numbers on roulette. It got pretty sketchy. Yeah, it was not good.
I actually stayed with Cause not too long after that. When the Packers went to the playoffs and they played in Arizona,
Oh yeah, that's right.
it was a last minute deal. I got the tickets weren't expensive because I guess Arizona people don't like football. We got tickets that were a corner about 11 rows up from the field for $120 a piece. For a playoff game,
That's incredible.
and I just one day at work, I just took a peek at it just to see. I was like, let's see, I got a couple days vacation. We can drive straight through back. Yeah, we can make that happen. And I saw the tickets, and I can't remember where I had Cause's number from, but I had Cause's number, and I called him up and said, hey. If me and my wife came to Arizona for the playoff game, could we stay with you? And 3 days, 3 or 4 days later, there we were staying at Kaz's place. And that was, I mean, it was cool. That's where that picture that was on my Twitter for a long time with me and him, that's where that came from. It was really cool. I think his wife's more fun than he is, to be honest, though.
Yeah,
She's
she's really cool.
a riot. And then we actually, I think the next year, because it was still before they had their kids and Cause started being a loser, we went to Vegas and spent a long weekend in Vegas with them during football season, which was a lot of fun hitting the sports book and being hungover watching all the games.
He's a good guy. I still it's funny. I got the new computer, this Mac, and I was transferring all my pictures over. And so, it was just pulling pictures from wherever they were on my other computer. So I was digging up some pictures that I didn't know I had. And there's a
Oh.
picture of Kaz and I doing the head tilt in Caesar's Palace.
Oh,
That's
nice.
pretty funny, yeah.
I think that one has to go up to accompany this.
It has to go where?
I think it has to go up on the forums.
Oh yeah. That's old school history there. Dude, that guy looks like he could take a punch from a water buffalo. Like he just has just a monster chin.
I'm
Yeah.
sure he probably could.
He's with Tampa Bay now, right?
Yeah, he's with Tampa Bay now.
Yeah, I always like Crabtree. And so I gave you a little bit of a hard time when we were setting this up. Through text message, I said, "You're the only guy, like within a short time frame, that took a picture with a man's man like Tom Crabtree, and then also you got a picture with a guy that looked like Clay Aiken, except somehow made himself gayer." And
Yes.
yeah, I mean, two classic pictures, but with wildly divergent people. Where was that picture taken with that Clay Aiken looking guy?
That was actually, yeah, not too long after the Throwback Weekend. It was at the bar here in the Dallas area that I go to watch Packers games when they're not on regular TV. He was there with one of the some vodka, they go do in the promotional things,
Oh,
and
this
he
guy
was
was at
there.
work? This was like
Yeah,
his professional
he
uniform.
was wrangling the vodka models.
That guy is
I just
something
kept
else, man.
looking at him, and I'm like, God, he looks like Clay Aiken. I've got to get a picture with this guy because I know people that would think it's absolutely hilarious.
Especially because you admit that you enjoy Clay Aiken.
Is that so wrong?
No, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying the irony of the
Oh, no
situation
man in
is
his right mind would admit that. That's what you're saying?
I'm saying you were man enough to admit it and then run into somebody that looked like Clay Aiken, only slightly more effeminate. It's a great picture. I mean,
I love that picture.
I think it's even funnier that this guy was actually at work, and so at some point that morning he got himself ready, looked in the mirror, and said, "Yep, this is as professional as it's gonna get."
Yeah, you have a valid point there. But then you
Yeah.
haven't been in that bar either, so.
Oh, well, yeah, I don't know. It
Pretty professional for that bar.
might be par for the course. So, we're at like minute 46, 47 of the podcast, and I like to keep them to about an hour. So, there's one thing I wanted to get out there or give you an opportunity to talk about, and that is the term Kensitive, because that was a thing for a while right after you left the Kandahar team, or might be in between the Jacksboro and Kandahar, or whatever it was. But I noticed that you had made a post where you said, "You know what? I think this thing has hit the statute of limitations. That term shouldn't be used anymore. I'm good now." So I wanted to give you a chance to address it in whatever manner you wanted to.
Well, I feel like you guys still give me such a hard time about things, and no, I was at a very different place in my life at that point. Something we still have to get to here. We still haven't even talked about women yet.
I know. I don't know how we haven't talked about women yet. We're definitely going to talk about that as along with this.
I feel like, I had a lot of anger and everything that I put away from the real world, and it, got out of me on the forums. So I had some issues, and I blew up a lot, and I'll perfectly own up to the fact that I did it. I just feel like I'm not that same person anymore. I feel like I have a much more even keel, not just on the forums, but in real life. I guess it took me 36, 37 years to realize that acting like that wasn't going to get me anywhere in life.
Well, and I think clearly you're just like we all are. We're all different. I mean, we've been around these forums for, like you said, 10 years, so people change a lot. But especially since the Minneapolis meetup, I think was kind of a game changer for everybody. Because I look at the people that I've met there, and we really don't get into the same type of arguments that we used to. And I think part of that was the real life meetups. I don't know if you thought that was kind of a changing point for you and your relation to the league, but that's timing wise seemed to be close.
I definitely think I think that was a part of it too. Like I had said earlier on, I think when you meet somebody in person, you get a better idea of the way they talk. So when they talk like that on the forums, like when PR was talking about how he likes to say "eat a bag of dicks," and some people on the forums would take it seriously,
Yep.
but I know better because I've talked to him on the phone a bunch. Same kind of thing. We all have these things that we say or things that we, tone of voice, that kind of thing that we use so people know when we're full of shit and just messing around, that doesn't come off on forums. And at the same time, when you're doing stuff like that, even if it's on the forums, you can't, like, the whole smiley face or wink for sarcasm. Yeah, that doesn't work. That ruins the whole thing. Then it's just not funny at all.
Yeah.
So it's like, now that I know you guys, and I know a lot, have talked to other people, not necessarily in person. I've met Jelly 2, other times. I've talked with Moden, text and stuff a lot. So I feel like I have a better idea of what people are actually meaning when they're saying stuff, when they mean it versus when they're just jerking around.
Yeah, I definitely think that's true. So as far as I'm concerned, the term Kensitive is officially retired. Next, we're gonna work on retiring Red's rage. I'm gonna get him on the podcast, and we'll try and work him down.
No, I think that's a great idea too. I really do.
So yeah, so you mentioned women because that's the one thing I spoke to you about before the podcast that I definitely wanted to get to at some point. You've been pretty open about the fact that you're in the middle of the divorce, I guess. I mean, I guess it's the separation's
It's final.
final, or is the
Well,
divorce
the divorce
final?
is final. Yeah, the divorce
Oh.
is, here in Texas, it's quick, man. It's 60 days.
Oh,
So
I had to
I
wait
moved
4 months.
out in July. The divorce was final in October.
That's good. Are you getting along with her all right?
Yeah, we do okay. There's a few more things that have cropped up since I'm dating somebody else now.
Yeah.
So a few things have cropped up with that, but I think we're working through that as well. We're both on the same page when it comes to the kids, so I think that makes it easier. And it's not like, of course, I've said this a million times, on Facebook and even on the forums too, I think. I don't hold any ill will towards her. It's not her fault that things didn't work out. So I think the fact that I don't hold that ill will or think it's her fault, I think makes it easier to get along with her as a person. I mean, I still like her. I still hope, she's successful, and all that kind of stuff, so.
So, let's talk about the part that you and I have a differing of opinion here. You've already found somebody, you're dating. It's already getting pretty serious, and I made a post in there where I basically said, "Don't do it, Ken. Do not give up your freedom. Hang on to it tightly. Love your freedom. Do not give it to some woman." And now you're giving it to some woman.
And while I understand what you're saying, and I think everybody has a different A timeline for it, and B, I don't necessarily think that everybody should be with somebody forever.
Yes, I agree.
I don't think certain people can handle it, but at the same time, I take it more on a case-by-case basis. This girl that I'm dating, yes, it is serious. It's actually nobody else is going to see this, are they? She's actually moving in with me here soon.
Damn it, Ken.
You say that now, and then you watch her come in here and do all my laundry for me and
There you
do the
go.
dishes, and just we get along really well. I can't explain how well we click or how quickly we started clicking. We just, for one thing, she's got kind of a man's attitude when it comes to a lot of things, I think is one way to look at it. So she's upfront, she's honest, she doesn't have, I don't have to tread lightly when I'm around her. I can be 100% myself and, talk bullshit and, stuff like that. I don't have to worry about hurting her feelings in anything that I say.
And
That
she's
helps.
divorced
We
too,
have a lot
right?
of the same. I'm sorry?
She's divorced as well, correct?
Actually, widow.
Oh, wow, sorry to hear that. But I think the one thing that holds some weight is that when you get to a certain age, and I'm just going to arbitrarily say it's like 35 and after, and you've gone through a long relationship, more than likely a marriage, like you and I have. You've been in longer relationships. You get to a point where you can cut through a lot of that bullshit, but you almost need a
Exactly.
new person to do it. You can't do it with the person you've been with for a long time. And when you get somebody else that you've cut through, who also has dealt with a
Has
lot of
been through
shit,
all that. Exactly. I think it's a huge thing. It really is.
yeah, you
I,
want
when you
to
when,
keep the
when
drama
you're
at
with
a level.
somebody who's been through all that bullshit and you've been through all that bullshit, you realize that it's not worth the bullshit. I feel like in my marriage with my ex, a lot of times we would try to one up each other. Like she would go get something, so I had to go get something so it would be fair, that kind of stuff. Yeah, that doesn't work All that ends up with is two people broke fighting about money.
Yes, that's very true. So, well, that's good. That's good. I'm glad you're getting all that figured out, and I think, like I found in the relationship I'm in with Kelly, that I've been able to maintain the level of freedom I need for my soul, while at the same time getting the companionship that I need just as a person. But I'm really unrelenting in my need of that freedom, because I'm never going to give up my soul to a soul-eating bitch like I have in the past. So I
Right.
think, yeah.
No, I think it's a very valid point. I also think it's not just like you talk about when you get to a certain age, you've been through all of it, so you can cut through the bullshit. It's also we've both been around long enough. We know what we want, not just from other people, but from life. So I think it's a lot easier to find somebody who's in that same place and looking forward to the same things.
Yes. Yeah, I agree with you entirely. So, that's awesome. So we're getting pretty close here on time, and so I wanted to give you the opportunity to say anything, throw anything out, plug anything, whatever you want to do. Is there anything you want to get off your chest before we wrap it up?
Actually, yeah, there's a very important question I think that needs to be asked of you,
Uh-oh.
Jason Haber.
Okay.
I need to know when the Harvey memoirs are coming out because it's a book that needs to get done. It's something that people need to see, I think.
Yeah, we were talking about Las Vegas, that I have a few stories from Las Vegas. You know what's funny is I was talking with a friend of mine recently, and the Jason Harvey memoirs, I was telling them the story about how I encapsulated my some of my recent stories on the TCL website, and he said, "Think about some of the experiences you've had. You've been to jail, you've met the president, you died for 30 seconds when you were born, you broke your neck. You were in the army," like, and he was just rattling off these things. He said, "These are great milestones. You need to put together a book." And I was like, "Well, everything in between is a little painful, though, because, like, in between those highlights, there was a lot of days that I was just sitting at home alone, drunk, drinking myself into oblivion." I said, "My hope is that now that I'm clean, sober, and, I'm coming up on 2 months from a year, hopefully whatever that the Jason Harvey memoirs are, they're not a sad story. Hopefully whatever happens from here on out can be the good part of it. So I'm gonna hold off on writing the book until it has a better ending."
Oh, so you're just waiting for the happy ending.
Yep.
Well, you can write that whether it's true or not, you know.
I didn't think about that. I could. All right. Well, that's good. Yeah. I am actually kind of working on something similar, though. Because I definitely want to put some of those stories, those crazy fucking stories that are true, that I've wrote on the site, memorialize them somewhere so that I can look back on them, and good, bad, or otherwise. Well, they're good now. They're good stories now, but I never want to relive them.
Some of the stuff that you have done is, I swear, 100 times an ask. I mean, the story about you having to go off, get out of the car on the side of the road the day
When I
the
had to go pick up the
shit.
crazy ex-girlfriend, yeah. And
Yes.
then
Oh my
it
goodness.
is true that as I'm getting back in a car, the sheriff drove by. That is 100% true. What a weird, weird place that was, man. That was like a couple of years of the Twilight Zone living in Iowa.
Oh
Oh, man.
man.
Well, we've hit our hour. Ken, thanks for taking the time. Sorry about the brief audio problem, but we had a ton of stuff. We could fill up a couple more hours sometime, so I'll have to have you back on.
I think it sounds like a plan. We could do a whole episode on the do's and don'ts of radio broadcasting and No, that really wouldn't sell the very well.
Well, I am going to reach out to you some more. I forgot that you were an expert in the field, and I'm just learning how to do all this stuff. So if I have questions, I'm going to hit you up.
Oh, definitely. There's some good programs that I can turn you on to for putting everything together, that's for sure.
All right, man. Well, thank you again, and we're going to wrap this thing. So I will talk to you soon. Thanks again, and good luck with the lady moving in.
Oh, thanks, Manny. It's been fun talking with you.
Rising, sensitivity is getting low. According to our blogger, Lambo is the place to go. 'Cause tonight, for the first time, we're gonna talk about women. First time in history, a straight man likes Clay Aiken. Well, it's Pack a Can. Hallelujah, it's Pack a Can. Amen, it's Pack a Can. Hallelujah, it's Pack a Can. Amen.